is that no one sees anything the same. You know, you look at this picture right here, and either this man has the biggest hands in the entire world, or we're seeing this from a perspective that makes it look a little differently. Also, I want to point out that I'm very proud of myself, because last time I just put a smiley face on the screen when I did a lesson I was made fun of. So I'm proud of the fact that I was able to get this picture on here. And that's what makes life interesting, is that we all have different perspectives of what we see. Standing on top of the Eiffel Tower, you probably feel very small, and yet from far away, it looks like our hand is almost the same size. And of course, that's what makes life interesting to talk about, too, is because there are things in life that we disagree on and that we see things differently. Oh. Does anybody remember this from, I can't remember how long ago this was now, but I remember as a child that this blew up on social media because everyone saw this dress as a different color, right? Everyone saw it through a different perspective. And so if you see this dress as gold and white, raise your hand. If you see this dress as blue and black, raise your hand. So more gold and white than blue and black, but still the point is made that depending on who you are, you see this differently. And of course, that's, like I said, what makes life great is that we can argue about things like this, and we are all different. And because it'd be boring if we all saw the same thing. But I think only thinking about our own perspective can be dangerous, though. Because sometimes we only see what we want to see. We only believe what we want to believe. And when someone tries to tell us differently, well, then we just don't like that. And so sometimes we can fail, I think, to see the big picture. And especially when it comes to our spiritual lives, it's very important to have the proper perspective because our souls are at stake in this life and how we frame our lives and what we consider important. And so often I think with all of the distractions, especially in our world today, with things like this that we have time to argue about on the internet, we forget what's truly important. And we forget who we are and who God is and what he has done for us. If you will turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm bad at this. Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." God certainly wants us to enjoy our life and the things that we have here on this earth, but he also wants us to be careful how we walk and the perspective that we have. Because it's really important because of the times that we live in, the days are evil here. And so it says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so this morning we're going to talk about perspective. We're going to talk about who God is, who we are, and then how that should frame our lives. And hopefully if you're struggling with that perspective, or if you're not, this will still help us be better Christians and be better servants of God. And so we're going to start with God this morning. That was not supposed to appear all at once, so I apologize. First of all, God is our creator. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, there Moses simply states, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And we know that there was nothing at first. It was just God, and he spoke everything that we have into existence. And even more incredible, in verse 31, it says, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Everything that we see on this earth, everything physically here, everything in the solar system, everything in the universe was created in 6 days by our God. And all he had to do was speak it into existence. If you will turn to Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31. I apologize, that's incorrect. Job chapter 38. I don't know why it says 31. Job chapter 38, and we're going to begin in verse number 2. It says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop? And we could go on for several chapters there of God telling Job what he did in creation and all the incredible things he did. And I would encourage you to read that because it's truly amazing. And so everything that we see on this earth, it's because of God's power. We daydream a lot about what it would be like to be a superhero in Marvel. And we love, you know, all the powers that they have and everything they do to save mankind. But those are fake. They're not real. And the incredible thing that God is real. And not only that, but he is infinitely more powerful than Captain America or Spider-Man. He can do everything and anything that we can think of. And you think about the stories that we have in the Bible, like in Exodus chapter 14, when he parts the Red Sea for the Israelites. Or on Mount Carmel, when Elijah calls to him and he sends fire down to consume that offering. Or even in Joshua chapter 10, when he makes the sun stand still and time stops. And there are so many more stories that we could talk about, but that is the power of God. And we need to remember that. I think sometimes we can see God as kind of this mystical being that doesn't really work in our lives and doesn't really have much power. And yet everything that we have and everything that we are is from him. And not only did God, you know, not just do those things, but he made me. He made mankind. In Psalm 139, David here is talking about all the things that God has the power to do. Psalm 139 and verse number 13, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." You know, he allowed us to be made in his image, and we have a soul. And you think about how incredible not only that is, but our bodies are, and our brains, and the ability that we have to function on this earth. And I'm no scientist, but I know that, you know, how incredible the makeup of our body is calls for our powerful designer and creator. The next thing that God is he's omniscient and he's wise. And omniscient is just a fancy word for all knowing. He knows everything. Saying in Psalm 139 in verse number 1, David says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my pain, my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." This can be a scary thought, but also a comforting thought, that God sees and knows everything about us and everything about everyone else as well. I'll be honest, you know, sometimes for me, I don't even know what I'm thinking or what my life is like. And God knows me better than I know myself. And nothing is out of his sight. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 13, there the Hebrew writer talks about, he says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Once again, God is not this mystical being who just steps away and doesn't look at what is going on with his creation. He knows all and he sees all, and that's very important. More importantly, he created wisdom. He created everything that is smart in our world. Everything that we know to be true comes from God. In Romans chapter 11, and verse 33, Romans chapter 11, and verse number 33, Paul there says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things. to whom be glory forever. Amen. And so, you know, it's impossible to understand all the things that God knows. And every time the Bible tries to describe God's wisdom, it can't. It just says it's too much for us. And Paul puts it there, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And so we need to remember that about God and what he says in his wisdom. God also never changes. And this is very comforting for me because humans change all the time. You know, one day I like this and the next day I don't. Or one day I feel this way and the next I don't. And that's how humans are as nature. We're ever changing. But for God, everything is the same and what he believes is the same. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19, this is the story here of Balaam and Balak, and this is what Balaam says in his prophecy. But in verse number 19 of Numbers chapter 23, he says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Everything God is and everything he says will stay the same, and we can always count on him to follow through with his word. And, you know, especially in a time of our world where society changes, it seems like every day what it wants, it's comforting to know that God never will. And of course, Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same, you know, yesterday, today, and forever. In James chapter 1 and verse number 17, it tells us, you know, the nature of God doesn't change either. Everything that we have that comes from him stays the same. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And so once again, you know, while the world may be changing all the time, the Lord never is. And we can trust in that. And that's really comforting as well to have that perspective of our Lord. And finally about God is that he is holy. And this is obviously the most important thing. Our God is perfect in every way possible, and he is good in every way possible. And because of that, he has to be set apart from sin. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is writing here and telling them, you know, how they should be, how they should act, how we should act as Christians. In verse 15 he says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And so all these things that we've looked at, this is the character of God. He created us. And Wes did that invitation a while back of thinking about how, you know, looking at the canyons when they went on the west, and that was God's, you know, fingers, if you will, creating that, sculpting that out. It's incredible to think about all the things that he has done for us here on this earth and really in the universe. He's omniscient and he's wise. He's all-knowing. He never changes, and then he is holy. That's who God is, and we need to remember that about him and all of these characteristics. But really, I wanted to look at God and who he is so that we can look at us as man. Because this is where I really do think we lose perspective at times. Because there are a lot of great men on this earth who have done great things. But at the end of the day, man is very flawed and very fallible, and it doesn't take long to figure that out. Unlike God, who has all the power and all the strength in the world, man is weak. We really are not in control. In James chapter 4 and verse number 13, it talks about there how little we know about what, you know, tomorrow is going to bring. James chapter 4 and verse number 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You think about how really frail we are as humans. Not only do we not have the power to do things like God does, or even to know really what our lives is going to bring tomorrow, but also we could leave this earth at any time. I mean, we've seen examples of that. And that's not, you know, necessarily a flaw in us, but it's just who we are. We don't have that strength. And our life is like a vapor. I think of the story in Luke chapter 12 there of the rich man who thought he had life all figured out. And obviously the moral of the story is a little different. But he had everything he wanted in life. And so he said, I'm going to build my barns bigger and bigger because he could. But that didn't really get him anywhere because that night the Lord required his soul. And that really just shows us how little control that we have. And if we are relying on our own strength, then we're relying on something that is always going to fail. Unlike God's wisdom and unlike him knowing everything, man is foolish. This is something that Alexander talks about a lot, and I think he does a really good job of explaining it. Look around at our world. Look around at our governments. You know, look around at the celebrities and the experts. They tell us that they know how to fix everything, and I'm not talking about anything in particular here, but yet the problems only seem to get worse. If you will turn to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, the Bible makes it very clear that no matter how much we think we know, no matter how much we think knowledge that we have, the ways of man are never going to be able to solve the world's problems. Proverbs 14 and verse number 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And when it comes down to it, man's wisdom is foolishness. And we know that, you know, the foolishness of God, it far surpasses the wisdom of man. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, here the prophet tells us, you know, we don't have the strength to even really conduct our lives as we should. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, it says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. When it comes down to it, when we're left to our own devices, we only get into trouble. And I think we've all seen that in our lives. When we try to act out of our own wisdom, out of what we want in life, a lot of times the path that we end up on is not very good. And there's consequences to getting our way sometimes. We're also very insignificant. And this one hurts because as men, we all like to be known. We like people to know who we are. We like people to know good things about us. But really, man is very insignificant on this earth. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 15, this is what the writer there is lamenting most of the book. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 15 says, so I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity, for there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. There are certainly things that we can do on this earth to be remembered for a little while. I mean, we remember, you know, great people in history. But how many people in here can name your great-great-grandfather? I don't know his name. Mine's name. And so it shows just how fast we forget, how insignificant we are on this earth. And once again, goes back to our lives are really just vapors. We're here for a short amount of time. And everything that we have is going to be left to someone else. And that's what I think Solomon here is writing, is lamenting. That I did all these things in my life, in the end, it's just going to be turned over to someone I don't even know what they're going to do with it. And that's just the frailty of man. And finally, unlike God, who is holy, man is sinful. And this is the most important perspective to have. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that, that separates us from God, and more importantly, that puts our souls in jeopardy. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 2, Isaiah 59 and verse number 2, all right, we'll begin in verse 1, I should say. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Thinking about how man is sinful is the most humbling perspective of all, because we've talked about all the things that God has given us. He gave us this world to live on. He gave us our souls and created us in his image. And what do we do with those blessings? Well, we sin against him. And really, when it comes down to it, we are evil and we deserve death. That's the true reality. Romans 6 in verse number 23, of course, Romans 6 is talking about the consequences of sin and being slaves to sin. And it ends the chapter by saying, for the wages of sin is death. This is our perspective, and this is what we deserve. You know, as humans, if we were left up to our own devices, we would die here on this earth, and that would be the end. And so I think, you know, this is always a proper perspective to have, excuse me, of humans, is that we should never consider ourselves too highly. And obviously this is a very bleak list, but left up to our own devices, this is really who we are. But fortunately for us, and obviously this is the crux of where we're getting at, we have to finish reading the verse of Romans 6 and verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even though God is who He is and He has all those wonderful characteristics we talked about, and we let Him down with who we are in these characteristics, God loves us and wants us to come to Him, and He gave us a gift that we do not deserve. And of course, that was Jesus, His Son. We can all quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that's really the most important perspective that we could ever have. And so there's one more perspective that we have to look at, and that's the Christian's perspective. And so let's answer the questions that we talked about, comparing God's characteristics to ours. Am I strong? Am I in control as a Christian? Yes, but not through my strength, through God's strength. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great chapter, of course, talking about heaven and how we're going to be changed, it talks about there, you know, where we get our strength from. Verse number 56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, I may not always be able to control everything in this life, and that's not what this is saying at all. But it doesn't matter at the end of the day what happens, because the Lord is on my side, and I can rely on His strength. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13 obviously is the most quoted verse in the Bible, maybe besides John 3:16, or Jesus wept. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's not saying here that, you know, we're going to be able to be really physically strong and be able to conquer whatever we want or have the power of God. But what Paul is saying is that no matter how bad the situation is on this earth, no matter our circumstances, God will give us the strength to get through. Moving on to the knowledge part, the wisdom. Am I wise? Yes, through God and His Word. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, Peter tells us what God has blessed us with as His children. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Yes, we don't have it within ourselves to direct our own steps. And we talked about how man's ways lead to death. But God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. And that, of course, is through His Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verses 16 and 17, he talks about what that Word can do for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Am I significant? Yes, as a child of God. Wes did a really good job while he was here talking about this, but you know, he said, you know, there's people who have asked him, you know, well, maybe I've just sinned too much and I'm such a bad person that God doesn't want me. And he said, you never have to worry about that. God wants you, and He wants you desperately. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and 6 and 7, Peter once again tells us how much God cares for us. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I have Romans 8, 38 and 39 up there, but that's just talking about how nothing can separate us from the love of God. He wants us, you know, very badly. He wants us to come to Him. And the comforting thing is that God is never going to forget us or let us go. And so we are significant to him. And finally, this morning, am I saved? And of course, if you're a Christian, then yes, through the blood of Jesus. And our final passage will be Romans chapter 5 and verses 8 and 10. Romans 5 and verses 8 and 10 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." This verse is honestly the crux of this lesson and really the only perspective that we should have as Christians. Because if we keep this at the front of our lives and hold on to this thought no matter what, then I think we're always going to have the proper perspective that I deserve to die. But because of God's love, because of his son, we can be so much more than that. And we have the ability to be reconciled to him and, of course, receive those blessings that he promises us. And, of course, we should all be very thankful for that. So to close, I'm going to copy Alexander, and I have challenges for you. Two things that I want us to think about as we go throughout the week and throughout the rest of our lives. And I've said this before, but number one, remember who you are and whose you are. We've already talked about, you know, who man is, and really without God, you know, how frail we are in every sense of the word. But because we are God's, I know I really beat, you know, down on man today, we are special because we are made in God's image. And he knows the things that we can do for him, and he knows that as children of him, we can have a home in heaven. And so, you know, show that to other people. So many times we leave, you know, here and we forget to talk about to other people the great blessings that we have as children of God. And really, if we miss heaven and we miss those blessings, then we've missed it all. And to go along with that, this world is not our home, so let's act like it. You know, the perspective of this life being it and, you know, heaping up as much treasures as we can, that's it for some people. That's all they want in this life. But really and truly, you know, we have a home that we're going to that is much better than here, and we're not made to stay here. And so it's very important for us, once again, to live that, to understand that God is calling us to something much greater than just the perspectives that we have here on this earth. So thank you for your attention this morning. I think I went a little over. Man, it's hard when you got the short sermon. But maybe next time I can get the longer one. But thank you so much for your kind attention, and I really do appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate everything that the congregation does here for me and for all of its members. Before we go to class this morning, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for all the blessings of this life that you have given to us. And we know how powerful you are and that you have created everything for us. And that everything we have and see in this life is because of your power and because of your greatness. And we are thankful for the opportunity that we now have to come together and to study from your word and to become better servants of you. Knowing that as men that we are frail and that we fail you, and when we fall short and we sin and we don't live up to what you would have us to be. But because of that sacrifice of your son and that you sent him to die on the cross, we have a chance to be reconciled to you, to become whole again, and to receive all the blessings that you have promised to us. And we pray that we would always remember that on this life that we need your strength and we need to look to you, that one day we have that home in heaven. We're so thankful for your son, as we talked about, and that he was willing to come to this earth and die on the cross for our sins, and help us always strive to be servants of him. It is his name we pray. Amen.